this year marks the 70th anniversary of the founding of the Fourth International in September 1938. That clearly, from our point of view, our tendency is a very important event. We always explain that an international is first and foremost not an organization, it's first and foremost ideas, a program of theory and of methods. And this theory, program, and methods have been developed over a long period of time and represents an extremely important historical gain for the tendency, which we preserve and which we base ourselves on. There are many occasions where we say that the tendency really stands on the shoulders of the great giants of the Marxist movement, and the same way we stand on these foundations, if you like, of the experiences of the international working class movement going back more than 150 years. You could say that the Communist Manifesto, which was the basic document of the communist movement, was not simply a document of a party, which it was, the Communist League, but also the program of an international, or the embryo of an international. If you look at it, it's like world perspectives, really. If you read the Communist Manifesto, it also goes into questions of tactics as well, and approach and method, which is also important, and differentiates ourselves from the whole host of different varieties and variants on the fringes of the labour movement. Of course, the basic ideas are not static; they are enriched by the experience of the working class itself as well. And the profound events which we go through. But nevertheless, we regard internationalism and the international as a vital ingredient, obviously, in the struggle for world socialism. And our history can trace its way back to the days of Marx and of Engels, particularly the founding of the First International in 1864, which is the first attempt to bring together on a world scale the advanced guard of the working class movement and prepare it for the task that lie ahead, that is the task of changing society on a world scale. And in Marx was not only a great theoretician, but also participated in the building of the First International on a day-to-day basis, gave leadership to the international, was able to skillfully bind together even various trends that existed at that particular time, not only the Marxists, but also in Britain it included the trade union leaders, many of the trade union leaders, reformist trade union leaders, of different other currents, of socialist currents in Europe, were bound together. And Marx used this famous formula of being of mild in manner, of bold in content, which is something that we take on board as well. We have to have, as Ted always explained, you argue your case, you know, with facts, figures, and proper arguments to win over your opponent, to win people. You don't bawl or shout, scream or whatever, or substitute yourself for those particular important political conquests and ideas and method. So it's not only ideas, but also a method and approach, really, which we have preserved over the last 150 odd years, besides in our tendency on a world scale at this point in time. First International was created, but as we know, arose at a very difficult juncture of an upswing in capitalism. Although at that time in the 1870s, or the 1860s and 1870s, it did worry, as Marx put it, the ruling class on a world scale. They were extremely worried about this development because it brought together the best trends on a world scale. However, the defeat of the Paris Commune in 1871 was a big blow and changed the world balance of forces and created unfavourable conditions for the development of the international. Therefore, it was transferred to the United States, but then dissolved in order to await or prepare better times, as Marx explained. And it was the very seeds that were sown by the First International and the work of Marx and Engels that gave rise to these mass parties of the working class in the 1880s and 1890s, which became not only mass parties, but based on the ideas of Marxism, which became the basis of the Second International, created in 1890. And therefore, it looked also assured that these parties, particularly under the guidance, the German party was the dominant party of the International, of Karl Kautsky and so on and so forth, given under the wing, if you like, of Marx, but particularly Engels in his later life, to guide and mould this particular movement. Unfortunately, again, the word party, the International, was created at a boom period for capitalism, which resulted in opportunist developments within the leaderships of these organisations, the trade unions and so on and so forth. An attempt to compromise with capitalism, see socialism as something as a dim and distant future perspective, not as a real part and parcel of the struggle at the time, which led, as we all know, in 1914 to the first of all the experience of the First World War and the betrayal of the International, whereby all the main parties of the International capitulated to their own bourgeoisie, which wrecked internationalism, wrecked the concept of socialism and so on and so forth. And as a party, as Rosa Luxemburg said, as an International, it became a stinking corpse. It could not be used. It turned into its opposite. And therefore arose the conception of the internationalists during the war period of the creation of a new International, of a Third International, which would preserve the real conquest of the movement, preserve the real ideas of revolutionary socialism. And, of course, that took fruition on the basis of the Russian Revolution of 1917, and the International was created in 1919, again, based on the formation of mass parties, mass communist parties, internationally. And once again, I would say that the Third International at this point becomes the pinnacle, I would say, of the experience, of the international experience of the working class movement. And if you look at the debates that took place in 1919, 1920, 21, 22, the first 5 years of the Communist International were extremely rich in the development of theory, strategy, tactics, methods, on all these different questions. And they became the foundation blocks, if you like, of the arsenal of Bolshevism, of international Marxism, which would be used as the weapons to carry through the world revolution. And basically we say, and we start from the premise, that our tendency rests upon the first 5 years, the documents, if you like, of the first 5 years of the Communist International. So rich are they, so profound are they in revolutionary theory, practice and ideas. And we have to understand that we have to read these documents, we have to study these documents, because they are part of our tradition, valuable tradition, and were taken over and defended by Trotsky and the international left opposition when the Third International began to degenerate. And then we have the rise of Stalinism, which in the end turned the Communist International simply into an agent of foreign policy of the Stalinist bureaucracy on a world scale. Again, it turned into its opposite. It could not be used as a vehicle for world revolution. Although that didn't happen overnight, that Trotsky in particular, after Lenin's death, conducted the struggle in the Soviet Union against bureaucratism, of a program that would preserve the worker state and offer a way out on a world scale against socialism in one country, which was obviously a program that reflected the interests of the Stalinist bureaucracy in 1924, of the need not for world revolution, but to preserve the interests of the narrow bureaucratic caste that had come to power within the Soviet Union. And that they had then twisted and manipulated the ideas of Marxism, distorted those views in order to justify every twist and turn of the bureaucracy's interests on a world scale. And the only force that argued against that, who fought against that, was Trotsky, starting with the Russian left opposition, which conducted a fierce struggle against the bureaucracy, a fierce struggle against Stalinism, which was expelled from Trotsky and the Trotskyist forces were expelled in 1927 from the Communist International. But they did not break. They regarded themselves as a left opposition within the Communist International, although they were expelled. Their program was to reform the Communist International, just as it was the program was to reform the Soviet Union as well, to do away with the bureaucracy. That was the first program. So they faced towards the ranks of the Communist Party, arguing against, first of all, the opportunism which marked the policy between 1923 and 1927-28, which had resulted in the defeat of the German Revolution in 1923. And so accident at that time also you had the first campaign waged by the Stalinists against Trotskyism in the autumn of 1923. The second major campaign broke out in the autumn of 1924, again after the death of Trotsky, the emergence of this theory the emergence of this theory of socialism in one country. And it was a life and death struggle between the Stalinist wing and the bureaucracy and the forces of internationalism led by Leon Trotsky at that particular moment. And it led to not only to the hounding of the opposition, of the sacking of oppositionists within the Soviet Union, the crushing of workers' democracy or democratic rights within the Bolshevik Party that was squeezed out, a witch hunter pursued, and events. Stalinists used every single event in order to usurp power and to further demoralise the working class within Russia on a world scale. In fact, it was the policies of Stalinism which reinforced Stalinism by demoralising, by the defeats that took place in not only in Germany, but also in Britain in 1926, the false policy pursued in relation to the Anglo-Soviet committee of looking for the bureaucracy as a way up of the British trade union movement, of the Chinese Revolution, and eventually the defeat of the German working class in 1933, which was a kind of decisive turning point, because Trotsky fought against all the attempts, the revisionism of the Stalinists, which came forward with Menshevik ideas, opportunist ideas, ultra-left ideas. After all, in 1928, the third period was born, which explained that capitalism had reached its end, it was going to collapse, that all the parties that existed were now fascist parties, including the social democracy. And as the communists are aware, that in Germany, this policy of ultra-leftism split the working class and allowed Hitler to come to power without, in effect, a window pane to be broken, in his words. The consequence of that was that there was no opposition to that policy in any large scale in the international. In fact, the Communist International leadership passed resolution to say that the policies pursued by the German party was 100% correct. There wasn't a ripple. And under those circumstances, Trotsky drew the conclusion that the Third International, the Communist International, was no longer a vehicle for world revolution. It had become so bureaucratized that quantity had changed into quality. And just like the betrayal in 1914 had sealed the fate of the Second International, so that the betrayal of January 1933 was also a decisive factor and indicated the incapacity of the Communist International to change or be reformed. And therefore Trotsky came out with a new question, First of all, in Germany, they need to build a new party in Germany of the working class movement, that the Stalinist party will never arise again. And also that tactic was taken on to a world scale of the need to build new parties, new revolutionary parties, because the communist parties were now barriers to world revolution, barriers to revolution. And from 1933-34 onwards, up until 1938, was the struggle by Trotsky on a world scale to build a new international organization, which was different in the sense, whereas the international in 1919 of the Third International was created on an international environment of world revolution. The Fourth International in 1938 was built on a background of colossal defeats of the working class, historic defeats. At that time, also in Spain, the revolution was smashed because of the antics of the Stalinists and also the wrong policies of the PUM, of the centrists as well. But Trotsky attempted at that time, after being not only expelled in 1927 from the Communist Party, then exiled the following year to Alma-Ata, and then into Turkey. He began to try and unorganize opposition on a world scale. In fact, it was his criticism of the draft program of the Communist International in 1928 and his attempt to appeal against expulsion, which was sent to the Congress and was obviously a bit of a mess up, but it was translated and then distributed to the delegations that James Cannon and Shachtman and so on got copies of this document, were able to smuggle it abroad, and began the development of the international left opposition. Got in touch with Trotsky, and from 1930 was the beginning of the international left opposition. A tiny handful, a tiny force internationally, based themselves on these traditional ideas, a defense, first and foremost, of the real traditions, the methods, the ideas, and the program of Bolshevism. And that was the historic role, if you like, of the international left opposition and of the Fourth International in 1938, because they had different the perspectives, are also one of building the Fourth International into mass parties that didn't arise for various reasons, which we can go into a bit later. But what I thought would be of interest would be to draw on some of the ideas that Trotsky explains in detail, because perhaps most communists are aware that Trotsky wrote volumes and volumes. He was a prolific writer, which is extremely valuable material in drawing the lessons of all the big events of the past and allowing us to share with Trotsky his ideas, share his conclusions, and enrich the ideas of Marxism. And Ted Oleg said, our task is to read and read again the writings of Marx, Engels, Lenin, and Trotsky, because within those writings are contained the essence of revolutionary Marxism. And if we are to become revolutionary Marxists, then we have to study Marxism. As Marx explained, that Marxism is a science that has to be conquered. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But it has to be done. You have to master the methods of Marxism, which can be done through reading, through studying, as well as participating, obviously, to quote yesterday's discussion, the relevance of theory and practice is very, very important. Otherwise, it's sterile. But nevertheless, these ideas are the conquest of the movement, which should be and must be absorbed by all our comrades if they are going to play a fitting role now and in the future in the building of a genuine international Marxist tendency based on these ideas and methods. When we talk about the methods of the old tendency and so on, they are not new, by the way. They are the methods that go back a long period of time. And you will see them in the very writings of Trotsky, of Lenin, and of Marx. But we have to bring them out, because I would say after our little local difficulty in 92, where I would say a lot of many comrades questioned or brought into question even the basic ideas of what we stood for. It's like a psychological crisis, gives rise to a political crisis, and it also comes a challenge the fundamental ideas as well. Why? Because they tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And our task is to maintain and defend the fundamental ideas against any attempt to revise or water those ideas down. And above all, you know, theory is essential for the building of the party, and therefore we have to have clarity when it comes to theory and raise our level on that basis. And Trotsky had a lot of advice, a hell of a lot of advice, to give those groups and groupings and individuals who came towards him in 1928, 29, 1930, 1931, when the international opposition was being formed. And individuals and small groups could see through the betrayals of Stalinism and were looking for something new. However, many or a number of those groups and individuals arose from a misconception of what Trotsky was fighting for, and many ideas which were ultra-left ideas, opportunist ideas, dilettantist ideas, all sorts, if you like, came towards the Trotsky's movement, came to the international opposition, because they hated Stalinism, the big bogeyman, if you like, and that was the essence of it, and thought that this international then could accommodate all sorts of views, anarchistic, liberal, all sorts, ultra-left and so on. And Trotsky's main task between 1929, 1931, 30 and beyond is of a demarcation, of drawing a line, if you like, you know, who is with us and who is not going to be with us. Because you have to have clarity. And that's a political question, not a bureaucratic question, of arguing and drawing a line theoretically and politically in the sand, saying these are the ideas on which we stand. That is the defence of the Soviet Union, defence of the deformed workers' state, primarily, defence of international socialism, and to base ourselves on the best of the communist international, the first 5 years. And also, onto that, supplementing that with the documents of the international left or the left opposition in their criticisms of Stalinism in relation to China, in relation to Spain, in relation to Britain, except all those valuable additional lessons are the basic cornerstones of Trotskyism, if you want to call it that, of our tendency, again, which we must absorb, we must learn. Even the very methods that are applied. Trotsky used some quite harsh words. Why? Because he had to. You know, he had to say what is and not mess about. Didn't have a lot of time on his hands. He recognised that. In fact, in 1935, in his diaries in exile, he says that it's the most important work that he's doing now, that is at that time, in his entire life. More important than the work that he had conducted in the Russian Revolution, in the Civil War, and all the rest of it. That is the accumulation of the cadres on a world scale, of the clarification that it was necessary of what Bolshevism was, to fight against the attempts to revise those particular ideas by Stalinism at that time. And perhaps we don't appreciate the fact how strong Stalinism was at that moment, and which was unleashed a reign of terror against Trotskyism and genuine Marxism, in the form of the Moscow trials and an international witch hunt after their daily papers, mass organisations in most countries, which were unleashed against these tiny, tiny forces. And Trotsky stood out as a lone figure on a world scale, fighting against the international reaction, on the one hand from fascism, on the other hand from the terrible plague, if you like, of Stalinism. And the way that was infecting the labour and trade union movement. And you talk about courage, you talk about determination, you talk about self-sacrifice. That is the example that we look up to, really. And what we're, and they have, that is that self-sacrifice, that ability to fight at all ends is based on theory and ideas and the defense of those fundamental ideas. And if we absorb into our bloodstream, if you like, those ideas and what we are fighting for, then on sacrifice, then it's everything falls into place. That we make these sacrifices, and we will make more sacrifices and bigger sacrifices, because the tasks are enormous and our forces are small, and yet we have the most powerful ideas in the world, and we will change the world. And that's why we call upon comrades, starting from ourselves, to make the maximum sacrifice we can in the building of the organization. Otherwise, why? We do it in a collective way. Because our sacrifices today are very minimal, I would say, compared to what we're going to make and what has been made in the past.